Welcome to the HS Innkeepers Podcast. We're glad you found your way here.
And welcome to the Innkeepers Podcast. We are a podcast for innkeepers covering Hearthstone Fireside Gatherings. With insight and information, we hope all of our fellow innkeepers find useful. My name is Avantes from Knoxville, Tennessee.
This is Root from Orlando, Florida, and O'Leary from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, is sick tonight, so she won't be with us.
Get well,
but O'Leary. I wish both of you guys a speedy recovery. I mean, man, you're hanging in there. It's this funk going around. It's got us bad around this time.
I've been doing this a while, and as they say, the show must go on.
Show must go on. So, hey, coming up in this show, in episode number 20 of the Innkeepers Podcast, we've got our usual roundup of news, shares, and spotlights, and we're going to dive into how to actually listen to your tavern. And don't forget, for all of your Hearthstone Innkeeper needs, the official Blizzard site is firesidegatherings.com, and our community resource website can be found at hsinnkeepers.com.
That's right, and we have a little bit of news for you guys this week. Approximately, 7 hours ago? Nerfs went live. All those cards we talked about last week are rest in pieces patches. Yep. You are no longer in charge. So, I know a lot of people are pretty excited about that. We also recently learned the February Fireside Brawl is the tag team 2v2.
That's one of my favorite ones.
I love co-op brawls. There's nothing more fun than playing with friends against friends.
Yep, I like it. You can hit exclamation point Fireside Brawl one word in our Discord chat. That's going to give you a link to the official Blizzard page that details all the information about that brawl.
That's right. Also, Blizzard announced a quest for PAX sweepstakes. So, starting at 9 a.m. Pacific back on February 1st and going until 9 p.m. Pacific this upcoming Valentine's Day, February 14th, every quest you complete will earn one entry to win. The prizes are 3,000 Hearthstone packs is the grand prize. They're also giving away the Lich King's helmet, which they just happened to find in a desk drawer after his internship. They're also giving away some Hearthstone swag in, you know, t-shirts, caps, and pins. Now, there was a recent change to the grand prize. In addition to 3,000 Hearthstone packs, they'll also be giving away $1,200. Now, there was a lot of speculation amongst the Hearthstone community that the reason for this addition is to cover the taxes that'll be owed on the $3,000 in packs. What do you think about that, Root?
It's got to be. It's kind of an offset. I mean, it just depends. There's also, you got to look at stuff like the Lich King's helmet. If you've got to import that, I know it gets kind of wonky sending stuff to Canada and sending stuff overseas. I don't know. Maybe it is a nice way to offset the taxes and any kind of prize claims you may have, or prize taxes you might have to pay. So, works for me.
So there's that. Also today, a few hours ago, they announced that Wildfest is coming. So February 19th through March the 11th. And I love this. I'm a huge, huge fan of the Wild format. But Arena Draft will offer cards that are exclusive to Wild. So you'll be able to do Wild Arena Drafts. Also, there will be two tavern brawls celebrating Wild that you can partake in over the course of Wildfest. You'll have Venture into the Wild and the Wild Brawlism.
Brawlium?
Brawlium, that's it. Yeah. Brawlium,
I like yours better.
Yeah.
Leary has set up another command in there. It's exclamation point Wildfest in chat. That's going to give you a link to the announcement article that you can read that. One of the things to remember is this is good to share. The quest, the sweepstake quest is going on. This Wildfest, this is cool stuff to share with your patrons in your tavern to pass them along that information. Some people just don't read news. They just want to come in and play the game and don't skip anything on the intro screen. So by you sharing information with your tavern, it spreads the message, gives everybody a chance to experience Hearthstone in different formats, and it also kind of makes you look good. So
that's right. Yeah. So make sure you're letting your patrons know. So Wildfest and the quest for sweepstakes are what you just talked about. All right. So, reminders. Last date to schedule a Season 1 Tavern Hero qualifier is February the 22nd. It's not that far out. So, it's two weeks from this Thursday. Yeah. So, make sure you get those. The last day to host is Sunday, March the 4th. So, if you're running an event on Sunday, March the 4th, you have to have it scheduled by Thursday, February 22nd. Don't say we didn't warn you, because that's it. Yeah.
It is coming up. It'll be here before you know it, too.
Yep. Yeah. So, Root, why don't you tell us about our top share of the week?
I would love to. This comes from Zandy out of Chicago, Illinois. They said, hey, I have a couple of people ask me about what my leagues that I run between launch events and HCT Cups. So they wanted to share a little mini guide for their leagues. They ask people to get together into groups of three, or if they don't know anybody, they put them together with other people who need more players. This helps for them, and it helps increase retention for their events. Each week, they have a different rule set. They make up 6 to 8 weeks of new rules every season. That keeps returning players coming back for more and more of this tournament. So the seasons are this: for week one, only kobolds and catacomb cards. Week two, only commons and rares plus 2 unique epics per deck, that is. For week three, build 7 decks, each one using only 1 tribe of minions and spells. Week four, they can only play cards like minions and spells that summon another minion upon battle cry or death rattle. Week five, they can only use spells that cost 3 or less and minions that cost 5 or more. Week six was a tavern brawl. And basically, like, this is taking the whole deck building thing out to a 6 week long seasonal tournament. And I think it's a fantastic idea to keep your patrons engaged and keep people coming back and doing things between their launch parties and their HCT cups.
I loved this idea.
Yeah, this is a really cool way to do it. I really like this. You don't always have to have whatever tournament you're doing. You can spice it up like this and really mix the two things, like a side event and a tournament together. And I really like what they're doing here.
Yeah, see, my community has really kind of shifted over the last year away from competitive and more to a casual wanting to have fun. Like, if I schedule a tournament, I struggle for attendance. But if I'm like, hey, we're going to have some fun, play some games, I have half of Knoxville there. So this is something I really kind of want to think about incorporating and maybe trying to get worked in. But instead of doing it weekly, we do it monthly, you know, and, mm-hmm. and span it out over 6 months and everybody have a good time.
And I'll tell you, one time we hosted a wild tournament where everything was just wild. And that was, it was an entirely different atmosphere and environment and vibe that the tavern had. Mm-hmm. More people talked and yelled and hoot and hollered and got up to run to see some crazy combination that just happened. I mean, there was,
yeah.
And normally, if someone got up to run across to see what somebody else did in a tournament, you'd be like, whoa, 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 no, sit down in your seat. It was perfectly fine,
right.
And it was a wild time. So it was really cool. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So that brings us to our new Innkeeper Spotlight, and this week we get to meet Stephanie from Virginia Beach.
She says,
"Well met. I have been hosting Firesides since October 2017. I submitted my first request 2 weeks before Nimsy was announced, and my first gathering was set up the day before she was available. I've hosted a total of 4 fireside gatherings since October and have had 30 to 40 patrons at each event. That's awesome. She says, I began hosting gatherings as a way to bring the Hearthstone community together in my area. I've been playing Hearthstone since beta, and I've been interested in Fireside Gatherings since they've been announced. I was never lucky to have any hosted near me, so I decided to take matters into my own hands and begin hosting them myself. I'm looking forward to being a part of the Innkeeper community and can't wait to bounce ideas around with all of you.
Well, the best place to do that is in the Discord server.
Absolutely.
So, if you're
in the right place.
You're absolutely in the right place. And if you don't know how to get to the Discord server, it's pretty easy. We made it easy. We made it bit.ly. So if you go to bit.ly/HSNKeepers, or if Hilarious here, so you say HSNKeepers, that will take you right over to our Discord server. And you can just start bouncing ideas off of everybody in there. One thing to be careful with, like we just saw in our Twitch chat room, Scott Bite said he's going to be stealing some of Zandy's ideas for that deck building competition. So you have to watch for that. So you can bounce ideas, but make sure sometimes you bounce that idea and someone just keeps it. So,
that's right.
But it's good. They improve it and bring it back to you. You iterate on that, which
that's
is
right.
what it's all about.
Together. We all work together.
So speaking about working together, I'm going to take us into our main topic here, if you don't mind, Havantes.
Have at it.
Give your voice a little bit of a rest there. So we as innkeepers, we all want our patrons, to have a great time, have the best time they can possibly have at our taverns. We want the time that they spend playing Hearthstone to be fun, rewarding, and something they all look forward to. But we also want our taverns to grow, both in number and size. But how do we accomplish this with, well, what amounts to a great level of diversity in the patrons that come to our taverns? Well, the first thing you can do is ask them. And I know that sounds pretty basic, but you can set up a Google form or SurveyMonkey. You can have a question on your Meetup page if you use Meetup. Every time they RSVP, you can ask them some questions. You could even start your own Discord server and talk to your patrons there on a regular basis. So get to know them, see what they want, see what they like to do. And you'd find out a lot of times you might find people prefer things a different way that you didn't know. People may like doing side events. They may not like side events. They may not like the prizes. You find out a lot of stuff when you start listening to your audience. And the forums give a level of anonymity. So it gives them a little bit of a buffer. They tend to say things more openly and more freely in a form, and then you can read it and, you know, you can get a good understanding of what's going on. Now, a side events are a phenomenal, phenomenal way to grow your fireside. It gives people something to do when tournaments are paused or have a built-in downtime, or there's only 2 people playing waiting for 6 other people to finish, whatever the case might be. There are an absolute plethora of side event ideas on hsnkeepers.com. Go there, look at them all. Scott Bites has done a phenomenal job in keeping all that together for us. There are tons more ideas on our Discord server. And don't be afraid to try something or even modify something. You just heard Patrick say, or Vanti say, hey, I like this idea. Probably not going to do it weekly. I'll probably do this monthly. Modify the idea that you know will work for you. So do that. And don't be afraid to fail. It's okay. Try something. If it doesn't work out, you tried. It doesn't matter. You tried, no harm, no foul. It was worth a shot. At least you gave it an effort. Now, why do things fail? We've had some things fail before on us. Usually it's because it's too complicated or it takes just far too long. If you have an event like, I don't know, you ever play Risk, Avantes?
Oh, yeah. Many, many times.
So, could you imagine combining Hearthstone and the Risk game together? So, instead of rolling dice, now you're going to play a match.
Yes.
To determine
who wins the area.
Yeah. So, that gets complicated and can take a long time. I've seen an iteration of this out there, and it didn't work for me. some things require too many people. You might need 6 or 7 or even 8 people to get something going, and you may not find 6, 7, or 8 people who actually want to do that side event.
I was going to say, didn't our good friend Inca down there in Florida come up with that?
He's got a pretty good risk game. It would take all day to play. I want to play it. I've got it. He gave me a copy. I want to play it, but it's something that will take all day to play. I really want to do it, but yeah. It's got to be, it can't be at a fireside gathering, or if it is, it's got to be with a group of friends who can get that going.
Right.
Now, if you recall a couple months ago, the Fireside Brawl was where the innkeeper got to choose the card. They got played the copies into everybody's hands.
Yes.
So here's an issue. I don't have a lot of cards. I'm one of those innkeepers who loves innkeeping and loves putting on the events, but I am by far not the best Hearthstone player, and by far don't have all the cards. Mm-hmm. So that limited what we could do at our Fireside Gathering for that Fireside Brawl, because there are things people are like, oh, do you have this? Yeah, no, don't ask me. So it's like, you get what you get. So also, there might be some kind of a deck challenge where you're going to eliminate new players who simply don't have the deck or the cards to put in that. So you have to be really conscious about that. And some events require far too much space. I absolutely love, and I both love and I'm scared to death, of the Hearthstone dart game that Scott Bites has, which is a phenomenal game, beautifully crafted. I'm scared to death of the space that it requires and someone's going to poke their eye out. So the liability, but it's a great game. But I'm not trying to knock it. Scott, don't think I'm knocking you, because I'm not knocking you. It's a great game. I played it when we were in at Con Before the Storm in Anaheim. So it's cool. It's a lot of fun. Now, flip all that over and you'll find out why side events work. They're simple, relatively quick, or you can time them. They can be played with as many or as few people as possible. They're not going to require or may not require any kind of cards or decks, and they can be played at a small table or at their small area around the table. Dungeon runs fit this perfectly. This has been something I think has been absolutely phenomenal for side events for Hearthstone gatherings, Fireside gatherings, because you don't have to be too crafty. It's built into the game. Do a quick dungeon run, set it 30 minutes. Everybody can participate. You take the winner at the end. We had a 5-way tie last time we did this. I just gave them all additional raffle tickets, and we drew a winner from that. So let's look at some of the stuff we can actually do for some side events. Just mention the dungeon runs. Those are built in, and those are a lot of fun. Be creative about it. We picked a random class for everybody to play, like you had to play mage. So it was a whole group. We grabbed mage out of a bag. That's what everybody had to run. And we made sure everybody was playing mage, just watch around them, make sure, you know, then that's how we did it. You can play tic-tac-toe. This is one that kind of teeters on the side of taking too long, because now you start, I've got a couple of these little wooden games that you can buy them off of Amazon. They're tic-tac-toe games where you spin the space you want, either X or an O. It starts off blank. But you say, hey, I'm going to go for this square. And then you play a match of Hearthstone. And if you win, you get the square. If you lose, your opponent gets the square. So it brings tic-tac-toe to a whole new level, but it can take some time. So it's one of those that kind of teeters. Deck building is always fun. We had a patron in our Fireside Gathering, Florida Fireside, tell us that they do what's called a full curve deck, which requires one of each cost card. So starting at 0 all the way to 10. And or if you start at 1, it's got to be sequential. 1, 2, 3, you have to have them all in there. Of course, a pauper deck. You could have play restrictions, like no hero power. We have another one that the dude's called Rope-a-Dope, where if you ever see the rope on your screen, if your opponent ropes you, your opponent automatically has to forfeit the match.
Wow.
So that is something that can really, if they're starting to set something up and they're doing the math in their head, now it's not the end of that rope. It's if that rope shows up, they forfeited the match. Not the turn, the match. They must concede. So that's interesting. What's happened a couple times is if you know you'll get all your cards played and then the animations start. So now the animation started and the animations aren't finishing and the rope comes out. Well, guess what? You lost.
Yeah.
So that's rather interesting. Pictionary is absolutely hilarious. I know Marspad has shared a lot of his Pictionary photos, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what that is. And someone go, well, it's, you know, it's Malfurion, or okay, that's cool. I don't see it still, but Pictionary is a blast to play at the events. Any, you know, it doesn't take a lot of effort to do it. You can do it on a whiteboard. You can do it on a wall, as long as you can wipe it off on there.
It's not terribly hard. Sometimes all you have to do is draw a picture of a guy flipping his desk, and people go, oh, it's Ultimate Infestation. That was easy.
Bites just threw out the chat room, Team Tic-Tac-Toe 3v3. That would be rather interesting. And Marspad also said Iron Juggernaut. Heads Up is another thing. We played Heads Up at the Innkeeper Summit on
that
the ship.
That was so much fun.
That was like, it was weird because nobody stayed in the same place. Everybody's like running around playing that game, and it was absolutely hilarious to watch everybody doing that. The coloring, oh my gosh. The, you help me out here, Avantes.
Ben Reddington.
Ben Reddington. Sorry, Ben. I apologize. Love you, brother. He puts out these phenomenal coloring pages that are just great. We took pictures of it. Someone actually colored with glitter the last time. I'm like, where did they get glitter? And we had glitter coloring, and they're phenomenal. We actually give out raffle tickets for completed color pictures. So it gives someone something to do. It's a lot of fun. And if someone brings kids, it's a no brainer. They're already there.
Breaking news. Beep, 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 beep.
Okay.
Bites has just informed us the Taboo Pictionary tab is now live on the HS Innkeeper's website.
Ooh. Yeah, what this is going to do is generate random cards so you don't have to figure out what you're going to draw. You get to see it, and then you draw it. That's so right. Then people got to guess what you're drawing. So I like that. Woo-hoo. And they're all random, so that is absolutely cool. Trivia. We played a Kahoot game. You can go to Kahoot. In fact, Avantes, you played the Kahoot game that we had set up for our tavern.
I did. It was a lot of fun.
So that was, we did 15 questions, and we actually gave out a plushy hogger for it, for the winning of that. It was just a quick thing. 15. We didn't give anybody, it's like, you want to play? We gave them, I think, 2-3 minutes to get signed up and get everything going for it. And then we launched into it, made sure everybody was ready to play that wanted to play. Mm. And we launched into it, and it was 15 questions. Didn't take a lot of time, and the winner got a hogger.
That's awesome.
It was always a lot of fun because what Kahoot does is between the rounds, it tells you who's ahead, who's in the lead. And we made a big little bit of a production out of it. So it was a lot of fun.
I love that the faster you answer, the more points you get.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as you saw, it was really interesting. One of the ones that tripped everybody up for us was, I think, question number 12, which said, what class is the most OP? Kahoot. Yeah. So here's the deal. That you, it threw you. You're like, well, that's
I messaged you. I'm like, that's a little subjective.
So here's the deal on this. So Freckleface put this together for us. And what she found out is that with Kahoot, you can label any of the questions and all the questions as right answers. So we put up, you know, all the classes, and it didn't matter what class people chose, they were right. So that was a freebie giveaway, but it tripped people up because they got it and they started thinking too much about it. Like, wait a minute.
So they didn't get a lot of points for it. Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly right. So there are some other Hearthstone trivia games up there on Kahoot. Some I don't like. Some are very old. So you have to be careful with that. I don't know if Scott Bites keeps Kahoot stuff up there or not, but if he does, then fantastic. If not, then we'll get him some to put up there for that. Now, here's the thing. We asked you guys, it was last week now, in our Discord, something came up and someone was asking a question about side events, like how do you get your group engaged with side events? Someone was having a hard time actually doing that, and that's what kind of prompted us to talk about getting your feedback from your tavern, understanding what your tavern wants to do, feeling out your tavern and knowing if you need to change what you're doing. Like Vontes, you said there, your group has switched from being competitive to more casual. So you need to be listening for all that. We've given you a lot of great ideas of how to create successful side events, but we have some phenomenal advice from people in our own Discord server about what to do to handle launching side events. So let's go ahead through some of these Avantes.
That's right. So, all right, Bunny in Atlanta, Georgia says, I have to force my guys to do side events. They won't optionally choose to do them. Usually, I offer prizes for doing them. Once people play, they almost always love them, but it's getting them to that point. It's also a matter of giving your community what they want. If they want tourneys, give them that. Not, don't be afraid to ask in person and online what else they want. She says, my guys ask for a stream, so I worked hard to give them that, and it kept them sticking around. But also, keep in mind, turnover happens. So be sure to talk to your group regularly in case their desires change.
Phenomenal advice from Bunny. Talk to him. That is amazing. Number one, you get to know them even better, so that's a win-win. And if they're comfortable with you, they'll give you the feedback in person. If not, they'll give you the feedback online. Just have a way for them to do that. I love the idea of having a stream. We have people come in who ask if they can stream, and if we're just a casual tournament, we'll allow them to stream from there. If it is a Tavernier qualifier, we don't.
So, but I got a funny story about that. Okay. So I host my events. I've partnered up with a game shop, like a traditional card shop. Sure. And the owner just happens to be a huge fan of Hearthstone. So I really feel like I lucked out. Well, I hadn't held an event there since November, and when I attempted to run my Tavern Hero qualifier at the end of last month. Well, I show up and he's bouncing up and down. He's all giddy and he's like, I've got something to show you. I'm like, okay. So he takes me into the back of the shop where they used to have this closet for storage. They've cleaned it out and turned it into a live stream room.
Oh, neat.
And they've hung cameras for the ceilings to capture magic tournaments. They've got, a full setup to live stream Hearthstone matches. And so we didn't have enough to run our Tavern Hero qualifier. We only had 10 people show up. So instead, we just ran a little small side event, and he and somebody else cast matches. They would pick a random match every round,
fun.
And they cast the matches onto their Twitch page, and everybody had a blast doing it.
That's fun. So they were actually calling the matches that was going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Each
round, they'd pick a different match, and they just had a blast with it. The owner of the store was as giddy as a kid on Christmas. So.
Oh, man, that is hilarious. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, take picture of that next time. I'd like to see what that looks like. That's interesting.
We'll do.
Yeah, that's very cool. So Doug from Detroit, Michigan, he says his area is primarily only interested in tournaments. When he tries to do side events or alternate formats, nobody shows up or very few participate. He's had the most luck with little things that people can do in between rounds, like Sudoku, bingo, crosswords, coloring pages. Those things to keep some of the more hardcore players occupied between rounds while giving everybody else something fun to do as well. And this is what we had started doing at our fireside. We used to never do side events because we didn't have luck with it. We didn't have a lot of success with them. We've only recently started introducing them and finding that our group actually enjoys them. It's fun. So it's something that you have to, like I said, don't be afraid to try. But we did the same thing Doug did, where we had our coloring pages. We had little stuff laying around that people could do just if they wanted to go do something. And we kind of went, yeah, that's there. If you want to do it, you can do it. Now we're more engaging with them. So I like what he's doing there.
That's awesome. Yeah. Next up, we have Scott Bites Levy from Irvine, California, who says, I think the solution is part setting the expectations, part adapting to the crowd, and part salesmanship. Why not try an alternate format tournament? That way, it's still competitive, but at the same time, you show the players that different doesn't mean bad. You can do a tournament with rounds of deck building challenges, or you can do a popper tournament, or maybe a 2v2 tournament. if you make sure to set the expectations ahead of time that XYZ will be the rule set, it should be fine. Now, I want to state, I have run popper tournaments at my events before, and people love them. They love being able to do fun things like that, and that's setting the expectation is a huge part of that. If you let them know ahead of time, hey, we're having a tournament, you can only use commons and basics, you need to bring three decks of different classes of commons and basics, they're going to have a blast building those decks at home and playtesting with their friends before they come out.
Yeah, it's always a good thing to see that. And also gives, I think, players, it gets them out of the meta. So it helps them think and remember what cards and how they play, as just opposed to playing what the current meta in the game is. So I think it's more interesting sometimes to have those different rule sets and different limitations of what you can do and how you can play. And we're going to close this out with our good buddy Marspad from Calgary, Canada. He says, only you know what is best for your community. If your patrons are unhappy with the current tournament meta, an alternate format is a perfect solution to keeping the community happy and healthy. Once the next set comes out and the rotation is here, patrons will be less likely interested in an alternate format and more interested in the new standard meta. So I think next month or two is a great time to explore with your community. He mentions the hsnkeepers.com/resources website for great ideas. If he comes up with it, he also says if Texas Mojo Guy comes up with anything unique, to obviously keep us all posted. So these four examples, or five, I'm sorry, examples are four. There's four. There were plenty more in the Discord. And that's just the amount of feedback that you can get from the Innkeeper Discord off of saying, hey, I'm having a hard time running side events with my group. Anybody having any advice? It is a phenomenal resource. We say it every week because we love being in there. But just do it. Just get in there and help out. Listen to your tavern. Listen to what they're saying. Provide them a way to give you feedback. And then try stuff. And if it doesn't work, if people don't like doing dungeon runs, or if the fireside brawl just didn't work, or a 2BT, whatever it is, if it didn't work, at least you tried.
That's right. Exactly. And, you know, it's just, you know, there's so much alternate things you can do out there that, you know, there's no reason everybody can't come up with something that fun. Next month, I'm hosting a 21 and up Hearthstone and Brew at a local tavern. It's called Green's Tavern. And those always seem to have the largest turnout for me. My guys love to come out and hang out into the late hours and, you know, have a cold beer with a friend and play some Hearthstone. And, you know, that's whether your community is casual or competitive, it's all about getting together with friends and having fun and playing this game we all love.
You know, it's interesting. We had our Tavern Hero qualifier a couple weeks ago now, and we saw people and players that we have not seen in years. Probably since our last Tavern Hero qualifier, when we used to be a little more competitive, and then when Amy left, we kind of backed off a little bit so we could kind of figure out how we did to do the things, because Amy did a ton of stuff for us. And so when Amy crossed over to the dark side, and when we lost her to the gauntlet that is Blizzard, we kind of had to figure some of the stuff out on our own. So we kind of ramped ourselves back up and kind of shied away from some of the THQs. Now that we are, you know, we've got it down pat, and now we are doing THQs, we saw people we haven't seen, but you know what? It was just like you saw them last week. Oh, it's just like, hey, what's going on? High fives, hugs, sit down, you know, what do you need? What can we get you? And it was great. And that's one of the things that you don't see that in every game. So I was really happy to have that level of friendship with some of the patrons we've got. So
Yep. Blizzard snapping up community members left and right. They hired another well-known community member today. You guys may know Trolden from his videos on YouTube. He announced today he will be the new Hearthstone community Russian community manager. So congratulations. Oh,
very good.
To Trolden.
That's awesome news. Yep. Blizzard has a tendency to do that. They know where to go fish.
That's right.
So
they always catch the good fish. So
yes, they do. All well, right. My friend, I know it's a little early. It is kind of a short show. We've only been on a half hour or so, but my friend, I think it's okay. You don't sound the best, and I appreciate your efforts and coming on the show tonight and being here and getting through it. But I think everybody will understand if we do call it a little early tonight. So
okay, well, then let's wrap this thing up. Tonight on episode 20, we pretty much talked about how to listen to your tavern and find out what they want and what's best for them. Make sure you join us next week. We're going to have a great show lined up for you. Hopefully, O'Leary will be feeling better and able to join us as we welcome back Jasper from North Germany to the show. We will be discussing his inter-tavern competition that he ran recently. So, Root, where can people find you online?
Well, they can find me on the Twitters, at HearthcastRoot. I also host a weekly show called HearthCast. We've been doing a little over 9 years now. It is a Blizzard Universe podcast. And you can also find anything that is Fireside-related for us. You can look at floridafireside.com. Or just Google Florida Fireside. That'll take you to the Twitter and the Facebook pages for my Fireside group here as well. What about you, Avantes? Where can people find you?
Well, they can find me on the Twitters at AvantesHS. You can also find me every Wednesday night at 7:30 Eastern right here on Twitch as I'm doing Hero Power, a Hearthstone podcast with my co-hosts, Zerotio and Versica. This week we will be actually taking a deeper look at the Control Mage. So I'm really excited about that deck list. We'll see how it does on the ladder. If you guys want to follow O'Leary, you can find her at O'Leary. That's A-L-E-I-R-R-I on Twitter. Make sure you tweet her a get well soon.
Yeah, definitely.
And as we mentioned earlier, you can find all these great resources at hsinkeepers.com or resources.firesidegatherings.com. And be sure to join the Innkeeper Discord, as Root mentioned earlier. That is bit.ly/hsinkeepers. And as we close the show this week, we want to thank everyone in our chat. We love having you guys here live interacting with us. And we love all of you listening at home on the download. So thanks again. And we'll see you all again next week.
See ya. There it is.
Thanks for listening to the HS Innkeepers podcast. For legendary resources and more, go to hsinkeepers.com. Schwinghammer.